Okay, thank you. Praise God. How is everyone doing? Listo? Are you ready? I know there's some Mexicans out there, people that speak Spanish, so. I'm learning. Praise the Lord. God is answering prayer. I was telling people the other day, I'm praying for tongues. I'm praying for Spanish tongues because that is the most useful for me so that I can preach to people in Spanish. My wife is doing a beautiful job. Pray for her. Lift her up continually because she is bearing the weight of the ministry out there. Everything that I am preaching goes through her. Everything that I am counseling goes through her. Back and forth. So she's doing an amazing job, but the enemy, obviously he's going to target her. So pray for her that God will help her to stand and be strengthened like she's doing. She's so beautiful, honey. I love you. Shoo! I'm a kisser afterward. We're married. So. Praise the Lord. So I want to tell you, Angel, I'm excited. I probably should have kept him up here. He is going to, as soon as we get him down to Mexico, I would do it today, but I want to do it with the church in Mexico. We're going to pray over him. He's going to become an administrative elder of Blessed Hope Chapel Ensenada. So praise the Lord, right? Very exciting. They're very committed. And you might say, how is he doing that from here? Well, they come down quite often. They're very committed to the work. They're helping right now. They're operating on this side. And, coming down a number of weeks through the year, spending a good amount of time with us. They're helping organize things on this side. So we're doing a lot. We're spending time together. He's able to keep me accountable with the finances and the ministry, to help me make decisions, to pray with, so we talk regularly. And thank God for smartphones and Skypes and stuff like that. So, it's such a blessing that their hearts are fully in it. And, get with them, get involved. You want to do ministry, get involved with them and others that's their heart, because that is what Jesus left the church to do, is for us to work in this world while there is light. Jesus said, work while there's light, because the darkness is coming when we can't work. You can't see, right? And so that's why we're here. In case you didn't know that, right, which you probably do, being in this church, right? But we need to work for the Lord, whether it's in Simi Valley, whether it's at your work, while you're plumbing, while you're fixing airplanes, whatever it is that you do, you can be a light. If you're a Christian, the light is in you, and God wants you to be a light to those around you, because they're going to hell. People are going to hell every day, and they'll never come back. They don't get prayed out of purgatory. Right. They make their choice in this life and they go into eternity and they never get to come back and change their mind. And so, it is our duty as Christians. It's our moral obligation to be a light in this world, for us to get right, for us to live holy and to be a light to those so that they can come to Christ. So sorry, I'm starting to preach before the thing. All right. So I'm going to talk about, I'm going to give you a presentation about Mexico. And, the purpose, we handed these out, we're planning for the years to come. So our purpose is to show you what we're doing and give you these cards so that you can choose, if you're a believer, if God moves your heart, to get behind the work if you haven't already, and to be praying for us and to remember us as God moves down in Mexico. And I do want to start, first of all, by saying that, we've got some beautiful people in this fellowship, and I want to thank everybody because, it's a church effort, and, it's not just us there working. Everybody, there's so many people that have been involved in Mexico, in going and building the homes, in sending support for the homes, in, in prayer. Bob, I remember one of the years he led, got people to sign up, and there was people praying 24/7 for the team that was there. That is beautiful. That is so important for people to be praying for the work, right? There's three things that we focus on in Mexico, And one is lifting up the Word of God, lifting up, obviously, Jesus, making Him known, and teaching His Word faithfully. That is one of our main goals there, is to teach the Word of God, right? The other is prayer. I'm constantly praying, God, oh God, please use me. I'm tore up. Oh God, please help me to be more like you. Help me to be a better example. Help me to be a better example with my family, with my children, even with my dog, right? So that I can be a better example to the church, to the people that we're leading. Guide us, Lord. Bring people in. Bring people that are musicians. Bring people. Change their hearts. So it's through prayer, relying on God only, to help us in Mexico. And He is. He is faithful. He wants us to pray. He's ready to answer when we live for Him. Right? He says, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you will find. Right? Sorry. I can't help preaching. Whether I'm doing a presentation or I'm going to preach. So, it's what God made me to be. All right? So, praise the Lord. Let me get started on this so that we can go through it. So thank you guys who have prayed for us. Thank you guys who have supported us in any way and for remembering us, right? And for the people that have come down. There's been a whole bunch of different people that have come at different times. You're such a blessing. You're such a blessing to my family to be able to see people from our, you know, our home, people that speak English that I can talk to, right? Amazingly, somehow I conversate for hours without my wife in Mexico. I don't, you know, so the Lord is helping me, right? That's the way. If you want to learn language, move to the country. It comes very quickly, right? If you want to live, if you want to do anything, you want to pay your bills or go order food or whatever, you know, you have to learn the language. So, okay, we already skipped to the next one. So here's a place. This is where we go. This is the main downtown in Ensenada. And we preach there on Saturdays, okay, in the open. Jesus preached in the open. He preached in the churches. And that's what we want to do. That's what God's called us to do. That's where the sinners are, is in the streets. And so we go there. We preach. We have freedom of speech. Thank God for now. Use it while you have it. And so we go to this area and preach. But this is what we've seen in Mexico. There's tourism, there's wealth in certain areas, there's much poverty, as you heard the statistics. There's a lot of corruption, right? We've gotten punked by the police once, and took $100, and you know, there's much false doctrine. And thank you for sharing that. We have the same mindset, but I'm going to share some of those things too. So. If you could change the... Okay, here's just a photo of some of the hills. One of the homes we built is to the left, which you can't see. And, you know, I tried to get some pictures. I'm not much of a photographer. But if you go to the next one, there's lots and lots of homes. So some of the things that we do, we want to show you. You've seen some of the newsletters. This is one of the toilets that has been used by a family. You heard how much people make. They make from $5 to $15 a day. If you make $15, you're making good money there a day. That's what minimum wage in LA soon to be, right? And that's what they make in a day, and that's good money. So if you make that much, how are you ever going to pay to fix your toilet? You're trying to figure out. Some of them at church, they're trying to figure out, do I put gas in my car or do I buy food, right? And not everybody, but most of the people in our congregant, in our church are poor from this class. So this is one of the toilets that they used, an elderly lady. For years, she had to climb a hill for this. Our team came, built a beautiful outhouse, okay? And compared to what they had, and they're very thankful. Put it in a new location. Even has a little fan in there, you know, which is useful, right? So if you go to the next one. This is one of our families. This is the toilet that they have. Look above them. They don't have money for drywall. $20 for a sheet of drywall. In Mexico, it's a little more. Stuff like that is more expensive. And if they don't make that in a day, how are they going to buy drywall? They just can't. They just have to live with it. Everything comes in. Bugs, rain, right? That's just the way they live. That's what they have, a lot of them. And that's what they have to deal with, which gives us a great opportunity, right? Even just with a little bit, we've gone and put tarps on their roofs when it was raining, you know, $20 for a tarp. We put it on the roof and now they're dry. Now their children are dry and they're thankful. They know that we love them. If you go to the next one. This, he talked about a woman named Consuelo. Maybe some of you will meet her. We're going to do a project there when they come in April. And we're going to fix this house. She's lived there 17 years. She's a widow. Her feet are bad. And she was going to a Oneness Pentecostal. It's actually a cult, but it's a, you know, it's a professing Christian church. They kicked her out because her shoes were not pretty, right? And they said, don't come in those shoes. And that's all she has, right? So thank God for that, because we met her and we're able to come. She's kind of far away, but we go about once every week and a half to 2 weeks when we can get out there, and we bring some of our fellowship, and we go into her home, and we worship, and she wants the word. We'll bring her food, and she'll say, just most important, bring me the word. Please bring me the word. Who, do your neighbors say that to you? Please bring me the word. Please bring me the word. Don't worry about money. Bring me the word. That's beautiful to hear to me, okay? Especially evangelizing for 17 years in America, and people are going, no, I don't want that, I don't want that, I don't want that. And then people are saying, please come to my house and teach me the word. Oh, thank God, it's so refreshing. Come down and visit, okay? So look at her house. The roof leaks, the windows are broke, there's a holes in the floor. This board over there we put in because there's a hole this big in her floor. Big enough for mammals to come in the night. Okay? Maybe some of you heard this, but if you go to the next one. So, you know, we put a board on there. That's her door. Any of you have a door like that at home with a big hole in it that's tied together with a rope, right? That's her house. And there's no way that she can do work. There's no way that she can get extra money. There's no way for her to fix those things. She's an elderly lady, right? And so she needs the body of Christ. She needs us to go and be there for her. Praise the Lord, the team's coming. We're going to fix her roof. We're going to try to fix her floor in one day and put a door on there with a doorknob, right, so that she can lock her house and whatever we can so that she can be blessed by the Lord and know that Jesus loves her very much. If you go to the next one. The outside, see how it's not even painted. I mean, it's not, see the wires there? She has a grandson. She has a daughter that lives there. There was more children that lived there before. The wires are just thrown all over the place, right? How dangerous is that? Live wires hanging all over the place. We wouldn't have that in our homes. But what can she do? She's a widow. She's an elderly lady. If you go to the next one. Some of these are pictures that I got off the internet because I didn't go around and take pictures of everybody's homes. But these are exactly like the homes that you see in Mexico. Okay, there's tons of these in the hills. Either ministry-made homes or homes like this, boarded together with tarps strapped across the top. They're, you know, if you don't like bugs in your home, then don't live in one of those because, you know, you can't seal it. It's not, you know, it's not sanitary. If you go to the next one. Just very quickly, it's another similar house. There's a lot of these in the hills, okay? Dirt, when it rains, it's really muddy. And this is just what they have, right? You go to the next one. Here's another one. I don't know that family, but there's plenty of these homes. That's what I'm showing you. You know, tarps on the roof. This is how they live. This is how they have no choice, right? They build their homes out of pallets. If you go to the next one. They build their homes. See, look, pallets. There's a rug for a wall. Pieces of boards that they find. Scrap pieces. Pieces of metal. You know the signs, that the big billboards that we have? When those come down, they take those and they put those on the roof. So you might have a big billboard on a roof to keep them dry, right? Pretty useful. But so you see the opportunity that we have as believers to go in there and bring them maybe a box of food, and it blesses them. It gives them a little relief to go and pour some of our, you know, I bring back gas cans from the States, and, you know, just to put 5 gallons in their car, it relieves them of some of their heavy burden. Now they don't have to buy those 5 gallons, and, you know, then they can do something else with the little that they have. It blesses them Doesn't cost me much. And it shows them that we love them. We love their body as well as their soul. Right? If you go to the next one. Okay. So you can read it, but I'll say it. You put yourself in their shoes. Would any of you want an outhouse to use every single day? Right? Maybe some of you construction workers are used to it on the job site, but none of us want to use their restrooms, right? When I'm there, and I, you know, I use a porta pot for years in the ministry, but they're not pleasant, right? A lot of these things we would refuse to live like. We would refuse to, right? None of us would move into a home like that because we have what we need here. They simply can't. And so Jesus says to love people the way that we love ourselves. That is a command by Jesus. And that's something that we don't just read in a book. We have to do it. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? And you don't do the things that I say, right? We don't want him to say those words to us on that day. So whether you do it, you know, in wherever you are, right? You don't have to go to Mexico and do it. But there's people around. You can go and find people that need help. And you put yourself in people's shoes. That's what I try to continually do, is I say, you know what, if I was them, what would I want people to do? How would I want people to treat me, right? And that way we know how to treat other people, right? The way that we want to be treated, right? Think of it. No electricity. Bugs, spiders, rain, literally. Spiders, black widows. We're counseling a family and a black widow falls on the lady. Oh, she's got kids crawling around playing in all the junk in their house. And a huge black widow fell on her. Oh, they don't usually fall on me like that. You know, and brushes it off, keeps going. It's like, oh, right? You know, we would like turn everything upside down, spray it all. You know, my wife has me do that, you know, and I put caulking in all the corners and, you know, seal the house completely. You know, turn every couch upside down to eradicate, you know, all of the bugs and spiders and so on. Right. Can they even go and buy, you know, bug spray? You know, it's difficult. Right. So no sanitary toilets. Many of them, they have an outhouse. They don't have flushing toilets, right? But at least if we give them a nicer one, they're blessed. And living in the mud. Many of their homes are the homes of the people that we minister to. And we want to reach both sides, but right now we're focused on the church that we have. Most of them we have to pick up. A lot of them don't have cars, right? We pack our truck out. 15 people were packed in my truck. It was great, you know? Literally like 3 people up front, which is illegal here, right? You know, tons of people in the back, people sitting on people. And in the back of the truck, I mean, they're just crammed in there. And I'm trying to dodge all the potholes. Absolutely terrible in Mexico. I still can't, you know, get used to that. It's terrible. And every time they're just awful. I don't know if they dig them and then they put like a tire shop. Tire pros would do well. Where's John? Down there, right? Put some tire pros there. Because I think that they have a pothole and then a llantaria, right? A tire shop. And a pothole and a tire shop. And a pothole and a tire shop. So anyway, that's really what it's like. It's horrific. You're going down like a normal road. And there's a pothole this big and this deep in the road. And you have to swerve into the other lane to go to drive. And they just don't fix it. Right? It's crazy. Anyway. So that's how we suffer for Christ, right? We're not suffering, right? Okay, what have we been up to? Here's a picture of one of our outreaches. There's a lot of people. There was more people behind us. People come when we bring simple things like beans, rice, things that we've been doing for years, right? You know, on the weekends and so on, right? But people come. They come and then they hear the gospel. They come and we get to pour into them the word of God and let them know we are here. We live with you. We care about you. We want to know you. We want you to be part of our fellowship. We want to be involved in your lives because we love you. We're not just here and then gone, right? That's a lot of people that heard the gospel. And the children, you know, during Christmas or whenever, we get to give them toys. You know, things that bless their lives, right? If you go to the next one. What time is it? Oh, time is going so quick. Okay. This is drug rehab. We went there once. We went back. And now we're going to go once a month, right? We go, we bought them like 100 donuts and a bunch of real strong coffee so they'd be awake and listen to the scripture, right? 4.5 hours. And some of you, I think, heard this. I don't know if we sent it out. 4.5 hours. And they were attentive the entire time. The entire time. Literally. And at the end, and I'm still going. And I think that's what I'll do today. And more people start coming. Even the staff started coming in the back. You ask my wife. And they're coming. They're looking. They're standing in the back. They are listening. This time we did the presentation, the rock and roll presentation. I memorized it. We learned it in Spanish, we converted some of it to Spanish. And they're glued to it. And they got to hear the truth. Many of them came forward in repentance, right? On their knees and crying before the Lord, asking for prayer. They need Jesus. And they're seeking right now in this rehab. And so we get to pour into their lives every month, right, for hours. So the cults down there, it's horrific. They are working hard, very hard. You drive down the road at 7 in the morning, and they're posted already, waiting. What are you doing at 7? What am I doing at 7? They're already up. They're dressed in their uniform. They're posted on the street waiting to pump lies into people that want, you know, that are looking for supposedly God and the kingdom, right? And they are literally everywhere there. 5,000, I was looking up information, 5,000 churches of their kingdom halls have been built in South America. It's a big amount of space, but in about 10 years' time, 5,000, that is a lot, right? And they're very active. If they become Christians, praise the Lord. They would be great, you know, go out all every day and witness and talk to people. When we go to church, well, on Sundays, they're very organized. They go to all the houses when we are in church right now worshiping. They're going boom, boom, boom. And then they have their church later, right? If you go to the next one. So, you know, the Apostolic Oneness Pentecostal, I don't know if you're all familiar with it. It came out of the Azusa Street Revival a little over 100 years ago or so. And they deny the foundation of the Christian faith, right? Certain things make you a Christian, believing the triune God, that God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three persons in one God. And they deny that very clear truth in the scripture. They attack it. They teach legalism, right? You can't wear a ring. You can't have a beard. You know, you got to wear women, can't wear pants. So you're all sinners right now, okay? You can't wear makeup, according to them, right? You have to wear the veil. Very legalistic, very religious. They have a huge influence there. The more I meet people, I'll meet one guy came to Christ after we preached on the street. He was crying, you know, and he had been on drugs. He gave his life to the Lord. Pray for him. And he goes, oh, yeah, I used to be in church. It was the Oneness Pentecostal. I meet people all the time. And they go, yeah, I'm a Christian, Oneness Pentecostal. You know, the head of a big ministry down there I met, talked with. The very end, oh, what denomination are you from? Oh, Oneness Pentecostal. Oh. Okay, I'm going to talk to you later. So, these are some of the reasons. If you go to the next verse, or the next, Acts 17. Paul, while he was walking through Athens, where he preached on Mars Hill in the open, right? He saw these idols, people worshiping all these stone idols. And he saw one to an unknown God, and that's who he told them about. Praise the Lord, right? But it says that he was provoked, his spirit was provoked within him when he observed all the idolatry that was going on. And that is what has provoked us largely to go live there, is that they are being absolutely infiltrated by false doctrine, and false doctrine leads to hell. Okay? It is essential. And if I have time for the word, you're going to hear that today, right? That is a large portion of why we're there. We want to live with them, the people that we've been serving for years. We want them to know we love them, and we want to plant biblical churches for until we die, until Christ returns. We want to establish churches that are teaching truth, that are not going to stray from the truth, that can be a light you know, anywhere and everywhere that we possibly can, raising up people that are faithful and able to teach the truth. There is much work that needs to be done, and we can need to continue the rest of our lives as the body of Christ to work and labor for Christ, right? And do the different parts. Some are hands, some are feet, some are eyes, some, you know, all different parts. Some are the heartbeat. Some are moved with great compassion, and they're continually bringing issues up. Oh, we need to do this. We need to, oh yeah, you're right, we do, you know? So we need to continue to work together harder than the cults are doing, right? And be obedient to Christ. So on Saturdays, we evangelize. We teach our church to witness, to preach. Whether rain or shine, it's beautiful. We visited the widow when it was raining, and then I brought the speaker just in case. And I said, hey, guys, should we just preach at the mouth of the town? Oh, yeah, okay, sure. The guys got out. It turned out really powerful, you know. It was raining. We preached the gospel. People listen. People drive by in their car. They drive really slow with their window down because they're like, what is going on, these crazy Christians? But they are listening. The guy that spoke in Spanish, he got to work. He's a mechanic. And they said, one of his workers, I saw you preaching in the rain. And he was interested. So God uses it. And then this is at the big flag, the three heads. If you go again. Okay, this is us at Consuelo's house. She's dark skinned, but you can see her behind my wife there. We're singing worship. She just loves it, right? She loves the word. And this is our little evangelism team. There's two families. They are committed. They come to two services a week, and they move their busy work around to also evangelize on Saturday. I mean, they are committed to the teeth, right? And praise God that God is raising up people like that. They want the word, and they work 6 days a week. They work 6 days a week. Sometime they have to work on Sunday, right? So we have our service at 2 p.m. If you'll continue. Since we've been there, we've had church outside. Some of you have seen the picture. We've had church inside. Right now we're doing it. You know, we have our services in our home. And praise the Lord, he's bringing new people. He keeps working in people's hearts. We have a deaf guy that just started coming. I mean, people that I'm not even meeting, and they keep showing up to church. Maybe some won't come, and new people come. And their hearts are being moved. It's a work of God. It's not because we are anything good. We're not. Right? I need Jesus very much. But God is working. God cares. And down there, the thought struck me is that the harvest, the field down there is white. And so I need to work hard because people are open to the gospel there. Right? If you'll continue. Okay, this is the drug program. Some of you have seen this, but this is the one that we're going to go to each month now. If you continue. So Sundays, we've been teaching the children. Sometimes we miss it when we're really busy. But we go to Isaac's house. The kids from the neighborhood started coming and saying, are you having church? Are you having church? They here's them at our church. We bring them up on Sunday. Mexicans love to watch little children sing. So, right? Some of you Mexicans are. And so, you know, we adapt to their culture, right? We keep the foundation of what needs to be kept, but we adapt to the, you know, certain things that they like. And they like to hear the children worship. God loves to hear children worship. He says, such is the kingdom of heaven, right, for children. So, and they memorize scriptures. Every week, they memorize scriptures, and we give them candy. So I encourage the parents to memorize it with them, right? But if they can do it, we can do it, right? Do it. Memorize this book, guys, because they're going to take it away one day, and you'll be very, very, very sad. And you're all going to have to run to Greg Cooper because he memorizes books and books and books of the Bible, right? Oh, there he is. Okay, so everyone go to him after church. All right. Okay, we do building projects when we can because we want to bless them. I love working with my hands. You know, I've done it for many years, and I enjoy it. So, you know, when we can, this is an addition so that they have a toilet connected to their home with a septic tank. Praise the Lord. Just like all of us would want. They also would love it. And this is an add on to a house, you know, added an extra room for them. Right. Many, many other things. Anything, you know, that we find that we can do. If you go to the next one. We've done a couple solar panel systems for people that don't have power near them. They don't have cables near them, and they need light. And so we've installed solar panels on the roof. You know, one guy had a battery system given to him, so we set it up for them so that they have power, like we would all love. Do you charge your phone at night? Do you turn the lights on at night? Do you watch television every day? Throw your TV out. But we all use power all the time. Some of them just don't have it. There's no power poles where they can buy a lot of land. And so, you know, things like that, just bless them. Now they have light. Now they can go home and turn the light on in their house and see at night instead of going to bed at 6:30. If you go to the next one. Gravel. It costs 20-something dollars. We put it at a few homes. But when it rains, the mud is just all over your feet, all over your car. What can they do? But what can we do? You know, we thought, hey, you know, buy just a load of gravel, spread it out, and thank God now they can walk to their home and they don't get mud all over their feet. Just simple, small things that we can do that bless their lives. And it builds our relationship with them, lets them know. This is one of the houses we build also. This is Isaac is our deacon. We made him a deacon, our first deacon. Their family is very beautiful, Angel. Testified about that, but hopefully if you haven't met them, that you get to come meet them. Hopefully one day they can come up. And they're just such a beautiful family. They labor so much and they're so humble, right? And they just serve. They just serve, right? So praise the Lord for that. If you move on. If you go to the next one, those are just some of the projects that we do. We also, you know, we spend time with the people. We don't just want to have church and then that's it. Kind of, you know, like here, we go to church and then you guys spend time with each other through the week. That is what we should be doing, spending time with the body of Christ. So, you know, we do crazy things. You know, they have a, careful, if you ever have a birthday in Mexico, watch out. If they tell you to bite the cake, they're going to smash your face in it, okay? So it's they have to do it or they're not Mexican, right? And you get icing up your nose. It's terrible. So this recent birthday, they got me a cake and I was determined not to get cake in my nose. So I blew the candle and then I took a bite really quick. They make you bite it and that's when they smash your face. So, right. So we had fun. Do you see them? Do we look sad? Do we look like sad Christians? No, right. We have joy in the Lord. Okay. And if you go to the next one, okay. And they enjoy themselves. They love it. They love spending time together, right? Look, they gave me a firework for a candle. They know me. I love blowing things up. And that's, so they lit the candle and it was a firework. Isn't that rad? You know, here they're cooking burgers for me on my birthday in the rain, you know, outside with tarps, right? If you go to the next one. But that scripture is beautiful. It says the kingdom of God is joy, it's peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's what I see in many of you here, you know, that we know and we have fellowship together. You love each other. That's something that we need to keep the rest of our lives, right? And we eat with them. After Sunday service, we feed the whole church, right? It blesses them. But this is our table. It extends. We got one so that we could fit a lot of people. And then we make it smaller during the week, right? And this is just some of the people. But there's Isaac raising, right? The deacon. And it's beautiful. We have fellowship and then we just spend time together afterward, eating with them, talking with them, playing, you know, people play the guitar, they talk, they fellowship, right? So we've had people stay till 2 a.m. sometime, right? And you're going cross-eyed, but you're going, okay, this is worth it, right? Maybe some of you have had that experience here. Right? That's how the church started, right? They're not here today, but some of you from the past know that, right? That they just would fellowship for 7-8 hours, with Joe and Lisa, and stay late, right? Fellowshipping because you love spending time together. So these, I always like to mimic the statues and stuff, but this is where we preach, right? So I'm holding the Bible. I don't know what book that guy's holding, but so these are different ways that you can help if it's in your heart. You know, if you're not a believer, then we ask you not to give, at all. But first, think of the Lord and get right with the Lord. We don't need the money, from the world, right? But we are looking into the next year. We want to continue to stay there. We're trying to downsize things. We're trying to get rid of one of our vehicles. So if you want to finish paying off our red car out there, let us know. And you can have it, we're trying to downsize things so that we can stay and so that our budget is smaller for the years to come. But it's a work that's going on, and it takes time. It takes time to learn the language. It takes time to get to know the people, spend time with them, right? It takes time. But God is building his church, and he's got a large plan to set up lighthouses there, And my desire is that we will be able to have interns in the future. People that want to commit their lives, they want to be discipled, they want to learn the word of God and have hands-on in ministry. Get your hands dirty, living with us, working with us, serving the people, and studying the word of God. So that's my desire for the future, right? So different ways. Above all, and I know people say this, but I really mean it, pray for us. Please pray, because the power of God is what we need. We need God involved in everything that we do, right? Without him, we are nothing, Jesus says, right? So for wisdom, I need a lot of wisdom to make decisions in dealing. We've dealt with a lot of difficult things already, very difficult. Some of you know, and had to make hard decisions and confront hard things, right? So wisdom, power of God's Spirit, for God's will in everything that we do. We don't make decisions based on what we want, but what God wants. Where do we plant the church? What areas do we focus on? Who do we allow to be leaders in our church? All of these things, we need God's help. So please pray for these things, right? For fruit, that we'd have much fruit in Christ, that people would come to Christ and stay in Christ and have a hunger for the word of God, and for provision. Pray that God will continue to provide for this work, right? Praise the Lord. The church has sent us down there, and we are very thankful. We're very blessed that God has provided our needs for this first year. And so, I'm speaking. I met with some pastors at other churches. We don't have a whole slew of Blessed Hopes yet. We're going to. So I can't go speak at other churches and give a presentation. But I'm contacting Baptist pastors. I'm contacting different people. I met with a Baptist pastor 2 days ago, 1 day ago. And, went to the university, talked with people there to see if we can go and give a presentation, show them. And we just share our heart. This is what we're doing. And if God moves in people's hearts, if they want to get behind it and help us, then praise the Lord. And if they don't, then praise the Lord, right? Because it's God's work. So we ask, you have these cards, and we ask you to pray. If you're a Christian, pray if you want to get behind us, and even if it's a monthly of $10 or $15 or something, so that we can continue and that the church for years to come doesn't have to, bear the burden of keeping us there, right? And, eventually as a church grows, but right now the truth is the people are poor, right? And they give what they can, they bring food, but, a lot of them we have to pick up in our own vehicles. So, it's just not going to happen from there at this point, if that makes sense, right? So consider, pray about that. If you want to support some of the projects, that empowers me. If you write down on here, and you can write it, tear it off if you're just going to pray or whatever. And I don't know where Steve wants us to turn it in. Outside, out there, out front. If you turn it in, put our picture on your fridge, please. The top you can tear off and put it on your fridge and pray for us. Remember us. We are praying for you. Okay, I pray for the church. I pray for the leaders. I pray for God's provision for the church here, for fruit here, that God protects the church here. And that God will make you guys fruitful. Okay. You guys are in our hearts. but if you want specifically to support something like Consuelo's Home or, funds specifically to help, a specific project, then that empowers us to be able to help them. And the third thing that you can do that I ask you to consider is coming to visit us, right? Come and visit us. It edifies you. And it edifies us, right? The people are blessed because they've seen our church come. Since we've been there, they see people keep coming. And I tell the people, look, our church, they use their time. They use their vacation time. They don't ask you for gas money. They come. They bring you gifts. They love you. They're coming because they love the people of Mexico and they want to serve you, right? And what a testimony that it's been. So, you know, come. If you've never been on a mission, don't fear. You know, we'll take care of you. We'll meet you at the border if we have to. If you feel, you know, don't feel safe, we'll guide you, right? And come. And come serve. You know, walk with us even for a day, for two. Meet the people, right? You will be blessed, okay? So now I'm going to start my 4-hour sermon. All right. Never enough time. Never. Okay. 2 Timothy. If you guys would come to 2 Timothy. Chapter 4. We'll start in verse 1. Is everyone doing okay? Yes. Praise the Lord. Need some coffee and a donut? Huh? Oh, okay, yeah. And we're hoping to build a church down there, so pray for that as well. My wife reminded me. We need somewhere to put the people after the year's up. Right now it's in our home, okay? But when our time is up for rent there, you know, we need a place to put the people to worship. So that's one of our big prayers. Okay. I love you guys very much. Mucho. Los amamos. We love you, right? Praise God. And I love the word. Let's get into the word. Get squeeze as much in as we can. I can't talk as fast as Joe, but hopefully you get some word in. Right? I counted once, I think I told you guys. In like 20 minutes, I counted. He used like 42 scriptures. Isn't that awesome? That's like more than Joel Osteen used in a whole year. And yes, I said that on live stream. If you're going to his church, leave, right? Pray for him to be saved. We love him, but my goodness. Right? A time will come. That's the name of the message. A time will come. Okay? This is essential. If you don't get anything today, get this word into your heart. Paul was about to die. Paul was going to be beheaded. He knew his time was up. He had labored. He had been beaten. He had used his life for God. And he was about to die. And he had poured into Timothy, who was his faithful son in the faith, and was continuing the work that Paul was leaving for him. Okay? Paul had said that he had no one else that had sincere faith like Timothy. It's very hard to find people that have sincere faith in this world. And let us all be one of those people. That's been a theme in my heart for the last year. Are we sincere in everything that we are doing? What is our motive? Do I serve God when no one is looking? Am I seeking God in prayer when you are not watching me? Or am I looking at porn? What am I doing? That's who you really are, is who you are in the closet. That's who you really are, okay? Do we have sincere faith? We need sincere faith or we're going to go to hell. That's the truth, guys, right? So Timothy was a young man. He was committed. His life was committed. He went when Paul said, I need you over here. He stayed when Paul said, stay here and put all these people in order because they're teaching false doctrine. He was a soldier. He endured hardship as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Right? His life was about the gospel. His life was about Jesus. It didn't belong to him. It belonged to Jesus. And that is what your life is supposed to be. If you're a Christian, your life is supposed to be completely surrendered to Christ. Doesn't mean that you're called to be a preacher, but you are part of the body of Christ. Your heart is to be completely his. That you are to love him more than your children, more than your wife, more than your husband. That you are to love him more than your house, more than everything that you have. You are to love Christ more than anything. Those are Jesus' words. Jesus says, if you don't love me more than your family, more than your wife, your children, he says that you are not worthy to be my disciple, not worthy to follow me. Those are heavy words. They're not my words. So I'm going to tell them to you because they're his words, right? He says in another place, if you don't hate your family, and I'll explain, right? You are not worthy of me. And what is he using? He's not saying to hate your family, but they're using speech. He's using speech to let you know the extreme amount that he wants you to love him. Because he commands you, love your family, love your wife, right? Love your children. He commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves, love our enemy. So he's not telling you to hate them. He is telling you that you are to love him so much that at times it seems like you have hate for your family because you are following Christ and you're not going to turn away from the cross. You're not going to turn. Even when a Peter comes to you from the church and says, what are you doing going to the cross? You're not going to go to the cross. That you respond to him like flint. And you turn and say, get behind me, Satan, to somebody that you love. Get out of my way. I am going to the cross. I am going to serve Christ with my life. I'm going to die for Christ. And nothing is going to stop me from living for Christ. That is what Jesus means. You guys with me? Amen. So in verse 1, thank you, Lord. Chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, hopefully we'll get through 1 through 9. Okay. You guys put me under pressure. Holy Spirit, we have to stop at exactly 11:15. 11:30. Just kidding. Okay, what does he tell? Think of Paul. Think of his shoes he's in. He's about to die. He's handing his ministry over and the commission over to his greatest disciple. And he's pouring his heart out. This is a second letter to Timothy. And he is charging him before God. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God. This is a big deal. This is serious. I solemnly charge you, Timothy. I command you, I'm charging you before God and before his son, Jesus Christ. There's two persons of the Trinity there, right? Who is to judge the living and the dead. And by his appearing and his kingdom. So in view of his coming back and judging the world, in view of the kingdom that is at work in our hearts and that is coming physically one day soon to this world and is going to crush every other kingdom and blow them away. And Jesus will reign forever and ever and ever. And he will rule in righteousness and he will deal with every sin, every abuse, every abortion, every foul word we've said, every gossip that we've said. Jesus will set that right when he returns. In view of those things, I charge you, Timothy, that you continue in the faith, that you are faithful with the job that God has given you. And yes, that was to Timothy, but yes, God is speaking to you also. And he charges you as a Christian. You are an ambassador for Christ. Your life doesn't belong to you. If you went to the cross and you are dead to you, if you were baptized and you understand it, then your life is dead. It's buried with Christ. You no longer live for yourself. You live for him who died for you and rose again. Praise the Lord. It's a very serious charge, right? And listen to what he commands. Preach the word, verse 2. Be ready in season and out of season. Be ready to preach the word. Exalt the word of God. Not your opinion, because those all stink. We all have them. They all stink, right? Our opinions get us in trouble. Preach the word of God, which is what you hear in this place. Pray for Joe. Pray for the church. Pray that we stand, that we're protected from Satan's snares and his traps. That he's always, do you think, Satan hates Joe. He hates this church because they reach many people for the kingdom around the world. He hates this church. He hates the teachings. He hates the word. So pray and be careful yourselves. Okay? He wants to take you out. And he's very crafty and he's very powerful, Satan. And he knows your weaknesses. He knows people. He knows humans. But he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. If God is for you, who can be against you? Stand in Christ, put your armor on, and conquer the enemy. Put that snake's head under your feet in Jesus' name and do what God has called you to do with your life. Preach the word. Do you see? What's the first thing he tells him? How important is the word of God? How important is God's word? It is essential. It is eternal. If you obey it and you build your life upon it, you will never be moved. Not even on the day of judgment. When those winds are beating on everybody's houses and immediately crushing the houses that people have built on this world and the teachings of this world and their opinions. All those lies will be completely knocked down immediately on that day of judgment. But your house, if it is built on the words of Jesus, if it is built on the eternal rock, it will not be moved. For all eternity, your house will stand. And that is my desire for you. And that is why I'm speaking to your heart today. That is what matters. That is what matters. Preach the word. What does he say? Not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, not just when you had a sermon prepared. No, the word, Timothy. Lift up the word. If you find yourself at a widow's house, you didn't know you were going to be there, and you need to share the word, be ready for that day. When you run into someone when you walk out the door, and you think you're getting pizza at Costco, and you find out that they're going to hell and they're open to the gospel, be ready at that time to throw your pizza down and talk to them as long as it takes for them to know Christ. Be ready. If you're at a bus station and God moves you and there's a crowd of people waiting for the bus and you're moved to stand up on that bench and preach the word to them so they can come to Christ and not go to hell forever. Be ready for that day, Timothy. And you and I need to be ready. How? Learn the word. Write the word in your hearts. Write it in your heart. Write it in your mind. Paint it on your wall. Put it in your bathroom, whatever. Memorize it. Excuse me. Know the word so you will not be deceived. Because Satan knows the word too. And he will use it against you. He will deceive you. He'll trick you. He'll send preachers that have many good things. They even preach hard truths. But they sneak in destructive heresies to destroy and kill you. A little bit of poison. A little bit of leaven. Leavens the whole lump. It gets into your heart. It infiltrates your mind. And in the next thing, you're going astray. And you're going to hell. Right? That is why we need to know the word, guys. Right? Learn the word. Preach it in season, out of season. What is the word used for? According to the Bible, according to the Apostle Paul, what does he say? To reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Rebuke, exhort, reprove. Right? If we hear those things today, what do? When people leave here and they run off, it's mostly because they're offended at the word that Joe preaches. Joe preaches the word of God. He preaches the word of God. Okay? And the word offends us if we want to live in sin. The word offends us. It attacks us. It tears us. It's a sword. It cuts us. And if we are not submitted to God, if we don't want to quit living in sin, if we love darkness rather than light, we will run from the light. We'll talk evil of the light. We'll hate blessed hope. I'll go to this church and I'll talk and point. They do this, they do that. Yes, this church is far from perfect, but you hear the word here. Okay? Pray that we multiply this everywhere and anywhere that God opens the door so that we can raise up people that are committed like Timothy. People that will live the rest of their life, not for themselves, but to let other people know the truth. Take God's word serious and his commission serious. We all play different roles. Find your role and do it with all of your might. Ecclesiastes says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. I'm going to go till 25, okay? I was given liberty, so... So you, if we do communion and stuff, that way you guys can be prepared. Maybe 26. Even at I like you, brother. So let's keep going. Anyone got 12:45? 2 o'clock. 2 a.m. I'm serious. Okay. Okay. That's what the word is to be used for, to encourage, to urge you, and to also strongly, when people are living wrong, to strongly come against sin. That's what those words mean. To strongly disagree. When people are living in sin or looking at pornography, the preacher is to strongly attack those things. If you're a man and you're looking at porn after this, or you're looking at porn, get right with God. Right? Because those things will kill you. They will send you to hell. If we look at a woman with lust, we commit adultery in our hearts. Okay? If we're committing adultery day after day after day and going to church, saying amen and going home and committing adultery, Jesus says if you practice adultery, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. So we are to use the word to exhort, to encourage people in the faith. Move forward, soldiers, and to come against things that are false. Okay? What does he say? For a time will come, it's the name of the message, a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. We are in that day. We are in that day. The world loves false teaching because it lets them live the way they want. According to their own desire. Do you see that? I want this. Your word doesn't let me have it. I'm going to go over here where they let me have it. They say, oh, Grace, Brother Grace. Yeah, go ahead. Live with her. You know, go ahead. Do this. Go ahead, steal that. Go ahead, cheat at work. Go ahead, cheat on your taxes. Right? It's okay, brother. This is a church of grace. No, that's a church of false grace. Grace is for those who repent, who are humble. Okay? So, people will not endure what? Sound doctrine. Doctrine, doctrine. The teachings of God are essential to our Christian faith. We need to know what we believe. We need to stand on the truth. Because it's doctrine that teaches us about God, teaches us how He wants to live. And there's much false doctrine out there. There's doctrines of demons that are very crafty, and they come into churches and they lead people away from the truth. It says in 1 John, because we're in a time when they say, oh, unity, unity. Yes, we need unity, but let me clear it up for you. The church needs unity only in the truth, only in right doctrine. It says in 1 John, if we walk in the light, which is the truth, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Only in the truth can Christians have unity. Does that make sense? Outside of the truth, they might be nice, they might do good works, but we have no unity or fellowship in the church. Only if they agree to the truth of what Jesus left the church, the foundation, which cannot be changed, it cannot be moved. Right? Very, very important is what is taught. We've got to teach the truth. Seek the truth with all your heart. Right? They turn their ears away from truth. We see that everywhere. You stand on truth, and the world is continually changing. Oh, he says he's a woman, or he said, now you should accept that. Now churches, obviously, they're going to do that too. Oh yeah, well, we have a dog, now he's a preacher. And on Sundays, he decides to be a woman, and then it's so confused and so insane. We are to stand in the truth, and you will be called a hater because you stand on the truth. Do it with a spirit of love, not dogmatic, not with a spirit that we know everything, but stand in love on the truth until you die, until they cut your head off, until the word crucifies you with their words. Stand in the truth. God will help you. But you, he says in verse 5, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And let these words speak to you today, right? You fulfill your ministry. What has God called you to do? What part of the body are you? Reach people next door to you. Reach people in Simi Valley. Reach people in Los Angeles. Be a light at your work. Be a light in your home. Right? Fulfill your ministry. Be sober, clear-minded, focused as a soldier. Don't do drugs, right? If you're on the battlefield, you're not going to want someone with a foggy mind. You want people with clear minds that can watch your back, that can watch out and do their job efficiently so that they, you guys can have victory, right? That is what he commanded him and what the charge is to us, right? Fulfill your ministry. Endure hardship. No, being a Christian and doing what God calls you to do is hard. And it is for the rest of your life. It is difficult. You will have vacation when you get to heaven. Okay? That is your rest for all eternity. God is preparing a place for you to rest and to be with Him. To have no more pain, no more tears, no more crying, no more suffering. No more labor like the curse of man under the hot sweat, the sun. That is when you rest. Now we work. Now we labor. Now we do whatever God calls us and commands us to do as our Lord, as our King. I'll quickly go through these verses. Listen to Paul. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Paul was about to die. He was poured out like a drink offering. Romans 12:1, it says that you should be a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. That means when you're alive, that your life is a sacrifice to God. Continually sacrificing your life for God. Doing things that are difficult. Saying no to sin, which is difficult. Definitely difficult for all of us. Right? Standing on truth, which is difficult. Being a light, which is difficult in a wicked world that hates Christians, hates you for being a Christian. It is hard. Endure hardship. God is with you. God will strengthen you. You have the God of the entire universe living in you if you're a Christian. Right? So stand in Him. Okay. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also all who have loved his appearing. We just have this 1 minute, but get this last part in your head, okay? Paul fought the good fight. Can you say that in your life? If you died today, can you say, I fought the good fight? I labored for Christ, right? I poured out my life. It's been poured out. My life has been used for His glory. And if I die today, praise the Lord. I can say I fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I did the work that God called me to do. The work that He prepared for us before time began, the scripture says, that you should walk in those things, right? Can you say that with Paul? I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And today, I encourage you to keep the faith. It is a real faith. It's based on evidence. It's based on a living God that has His fingerprint all through history. Like no other religion in the world. Because He is a living God. Keep the faith. Even if everyone else turns away, you keep the faith. Walk with God like Noah did when the whole world did not listen to His message. He kept the faith. He believed God. He feared God. He built a boat. His family was saved. And you and I are here because He kept the faith. We'd all be not here, right? Praise the Lord. On that day, there was laid up for all people who have loved His appearing, who look forward. What is your desire today? Is it PlayStation? Or are you longing for Jesus to return? Are you looking for that day with earnestness? Do you love Jesus? Do you love him? Do you know him? Do you talk to him? Is he involved in your every decision? Is your life lived for him? And are you looking forward to the day when he returns, the one that you love the most? You can run to his feet and weep and cry and kiss his feet. Are you looking forward to that day? Or is your desire for this world? Right? Ask yourself that question. And that's all I have time for. So, praise the Lord. Let God work in your hearts. Let the word work in your heart. Let it cultivate. Let it break your heart. Let it change you. Let you go home humbled by God's word. Let it change you forever. Okay, we're going to have communion, right? Okay, praise the Lord. Did they pass it out already? Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, praise the Lord. Did you have a plan for something? Oh, okay.
You want to close in prayer?
Let me pray.
Close in prayer, and then we'll have a couple of last-minute announcements.
Okay, praise the Lord. Father, we thank you that you are here with us today. I thank you that you answer my prayer for help, that your Holy Spirit is here. And thank you that your word was proclaimed, Lord. And I pray that it is sharp, that it works in us, and ultimately makes us like Jesus, Lord. Transform our minds and our hearts, Lord. Have your way in our lives. Thank you that you are good, Lord. You love us. You sent your son to die for us. And today as we take communion, we remember those things, Lord. We pray you bless it, Lord Jesus, as we remember your sacrifice for us. Lord, you gave everything for us so that we could have a chance to have eternal life and be forgiven for our filth, Lord. And we thank you. We remember that your body was broken, that your blood was shed today as we take this beautiful communion, Lord, and be part of the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.